Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome in, Ultimate Tailgaters Barbecue Tailgate Show. Hope you had a great weekend out there. Probably a wet one for you're in rare, probably in the South, or especially South Carolina and Georgia. Any kind of football game out there probably got a little wet, and probably had a barbecue competition, probably got a little wet on you, but I hope everything turned out good for you. Had a big weekend in college football, obviously. Obviously the big game. Not only my favorite team, but also probably a big matchup because it was two top 20 teams, or actually, I guess Carolina was outside the top 20, and then Georgia was actually in the top 10. But the Gamecocks and the Bulldogs on Saturday in an interesting game where it got delayed by weather for about an hour and a half. Didn't get on the way to about, I guess it was somewhere 4:45, 5 o'clock, originally scheduled for a 3:30 kickoff, but finally got the game underway. It didn't rain too much till the second half, and then we had a pretty steady rain out there. But a heck of a game. I'm sure a lot of you out there listening probably were watching it or were there in person. But a great football game. Really was a great football game. And even if the Gamecocks would have took the loss, still would have told you it was one of the better games I've seen in the last probably, you know, 5-7 years. Excuse me, in person. But a great football game. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. Had a couple of, barbecue contests. There was the Uniquely Union had their contest up there in Union, South Carolina, a contest that we actually participated in last year. Hate that we couldn't make it this year, but obviously football is tailgating, big for us, Ultimate Tailgaters. So we were at the game, so missed that, but congratulations to On the Spot Barbecue. I think that was Ronnie Bishop that took the GC there, and then congrats to Brad Kay, who was the reserve grand champion up there at Union. I think that was it's always a nice contest. I think they had, I guess it was somewhere around 20, 22 teams, I think is what they ended up having up there, and then also there was, I think they call it the Barbecue by the Shrine Lake. That is another Southern Barbecue Network contest. That was, I think, won by Mike's Catering. And then in second place was Carolina Barbecue. So congratulations to those folks as well. And there was not any SCBA contest. Believe there was a KCBS contest. That was, I think it's over in Winder, Georgia. I think it was Winder, Georgia, and I believe that's the one that Killer Bees took the GC at. So congrats to Jim and Jan Berg. I think that was in Winder, Georgia. I might have to double check that, but I know he was the grand champion at the one over the weekend. So congrats to those folks as well. So I'm sure they probably got a little wet, just like the folks at the other contest. But hope everybody had a good time, and congrats to all the other folks that got calls as well at those contests. So we didn't get a chance to get to that one, but it would have been a night game. We would have tried to squeeze that in and then hauled butt for Columbia, but we had the 3:30 kickoff, which turned into 5 o'clock with the weather. But it would have been too tough to make with the traffic and so forth. But hopefully it'll work out with our schedule next year. We can get back up to Union. Had a really good time. At that contest last year, we were sad we couldn't make it back, since we did actually. We're the grand champion up there last year, and Hannah couldn't go back to defend. But had a great time in Columbia, though. Like we said, what a heck of a football game. So if you're out there and we're at the game, watch on TV and want to call in and talk about it, just give us a call in. The number is 347-202-0263. That's 347-202-0263. You probably got some out there listening on our online link as well, which is fine. But, yeah, good weekend for college football. Had some had some good games cross country. We've really gotten into our – in the next couple of weeks, we'll get really into our conference schedule and see a lot better. Better matchups and games are going to really, you know, have a big bearing on as we move to this conference. The Final Four, for lack of a better word, the playoff in college football. But we'll start to see some better matchups probably coming up. But the Carolina Georgia game probably was the big one over the weekend. A couple of interesting games, kind of some shockers out there. East Carolina. Put it on the Hokies. I said put it on them. They had them down, I think, 21-0 there one time. Virginia Tech came back and tied that game up late, and then East Carolina marched down and actually ended up winning the game. I think they kind of deserved to win it. One of the highlights I saw and listened to some other sports shows today. But big win for East Carolina. Kind of a surprise, since Virginia Tech had gone actually to Columbus, Ohio, the previous week and beat Ohio State. So I think a lot of people were probably expecting Virginia Tech to handle the Pirates at home, but just didn't work out. So a big win for East Carolina. And probably one of the biggest shockers of the weekend was Boston College putting it on Southern Cal Saturday. Southern Cal had that pretty impressive win over Stanford earlier in the year. And obviously most people expected them to roll into, I think that's Chestnut Hill, they call that, where Boston College is at, and take care of business. But Boston College jumped on them, and gosh, I don't remember exactly, but I think Boston College had like 400 yards rushing. I don't know. I'd be curious, somebody looking that up. But when was the last time that Southern Cal had somebody rush for 400 yards on them? Pretty amazing stat, I think. Southern Cal really taking it on the chin there on Saturday. So that was one that I think if you would have interviewed 20 people, I believe all 20 people would have told you that they would have picked Southern Cal to win that game. Obviously, the East Carolina Virginia Tech game, I don't guess was a huge upset. Even though I think most people would have obviously been favoring the Hokies to take that game. But East Carolina played well. They had a heck of a quarterback there at East Carolina. That guy, that kid can play. South Carolina got to see him last week, and the Gamecocks certainly didn't dispose of the Pirates real easily. That was a hard fought game, and it ended up winning by 10 points there. But that quarterback, man, he can sling it around, for sure. So. The rankings are starting to get a little feel here for this top four lineup, but obviously a lot of football to be played. But I believe both of the major polls, AP and USA today, have Florida State at the top, and then we got a little difference. I think Oregon, Alabama, 2-3-1, and Alabama, Oregon, Oregon, Alabama, second, third, and I think Alabama is second, another Oregon, third. And I think we got Oklahoma fourth, and I think Auburn was fifth in those two polls. And then kind of a mixed bag, I think, down from 6 to 10. It's mainly kind of a mixture of, I think, Auburn and A&M Baylor. I believe we got LSU in there, and I think Notre Dame, and then I think it like Ole Miss, Michigan State, UCLA. I don't remember exactly, but I think that was kind of about the top 12 there. And the Gamecocks had a pretty big change. I think in one poll they moved up to 14th, and the other poll they moved up to 16th. And I always kind of find that kind of interesting when if you're ranked and you beat a team. Of course, the Gamecocks are pretty far down the line, but I always still think it's weird if you're ranked and beat a team, that team's still ahead of you. Never really understood that. Granted, I think in one poll, Georgia 13, South Carolina 14, and another one, they're 14, South Carolina 16. So that's just kind of always been kind of weird to me, whether it be the Gamecocks or some other team. But anyway, that'll take care of itself down the road as these teams continue to play in conference and so forth. So should be some good, like I said, some good matchups coming up here in coming weeks as we get more into really a true conference schedule. We got some teams that have maybe played one conference game, or some teams that haven't even played a conference game yet. I think Missouri is not. I think they're 3-0 right now, but and I think they're playing the end this weekend. But I believe they've started out with all four of their non-conference games to start the year. Kind of an interesting schedule. So that'll be a big game here in 2 weeks when Missouri comes into the Columbia. I think most people would expect Missouri to take care of Indiana, and even though the Gamecocks go on the road, I think the Gamecocks will handle Vanderbilt this week in Nashville. The Commodores have been they've been pretty bad so far, unfortunately. They needed a late miss by UMass this weekend. UMass basically had, for the most part, a chip shot field goal to win the game, and unfortunately, the guy missed it. And Vanderbilt, I think, ended up, I don't know if it was 3 points or 2 points. I think they won by 2 points. But Vandy is really struggling. So I hope they don't. I hope they wait a week before they find themselves. I don't think we'll see much of a game, though, quite honestly. Hopefully the Gamecocks will go in, and I would think play it pretty close to chest here, and nothing real fancy. Probably try to run the ball a lot and wear Vandy down, more than likely. So I think Georgia, they've got a non-conference game coming up. I think it may be Troy, but I believe they're non-conference coming up. And then, of course, they'll start to get into the meat of their conference schedule here in a couple of weeks as well as most all the other SEC and ACC teams as well. So like I said, if you're out there and watch some college football over the weekend, or if you're at a game, we'd love to hear from you. You know, the Carolina game had some interesting plays in it. You know, like the harp on the Gamecocks, even though I'm a big Gamecock fan, but since I was there live, and would be curious to get some other people's thoughts or feedback on it. But had some interesting calls. I listened to another professional sports shows today, and there was a lot of comments on the amount of flags that have been thrown, you know, not only obviously the Carolina game, but just college football and even pro football in general. It's just like the refs have got a little flag happy. I know in the Carolina game, and I'll call it both ways or however I see it, but I know Gurley scored a touchdown. I think that was in the first half, had about a 45, 50-yard run. And it was called back, and that was a pretty questionable holding call on the Gamecocks. Excuse me, on the Bulldogs, but luckily saved the Gamecocks. And there was a couple of questionable. You don't see these called very often, but I guess what they call is a crackback or chop block. They actually called one on South Carolina on an offensive receiver after an interception. And if you go back and look at the play, I know it's, I guess the angle of the referee may be a little different than the angle we're getting from the camera, but it looked as me as though, and I think even the announcers felt the same way, it looked to me as though the Carolina player was attempting to make a tackle, and he thought, I guess, the guy was going to kind of juke one way, and he really kind of whipped the tackle, quite honestly. And when he dove, it looks like the Vanderbilt guy, they were thinking about next week's game, the Georgia guy was coming that way and just kind of fell over him. But they called the Carolina guy for a chop block. So I don't know if I've ever seen a a player get called, even though they were on offense. But you know, really, we'd gone back on defense to make a tackle. So anyway, that was an interesting call. I thought, and of course, the infamous ball spot. Carolina seems to get in situations. You remember the Carolina Michigan game where the referee, I think it was pretty obvious, made the wrong call somehow, and gave Michigan the ball, even though clearly they just blew the first down call for the excuse me for the Gamecocks. And you know, so then this Saturday you see it looks like deja vu, and you know, they measure it one time, which I thought we actually had first down the first time, kind of got a little questionable spot, and then of course the quarterback sneak it, and I really feel like that Dylan Thompson made enough forward push, and it was fairly obvious he got the first down. And then after pushing and shoving and referees, you know, putting the ball down and moving feet and what have you, and the next thing you know, they come out and pull the chain, and I don't think he could have got a slipped a dollar bill in between the nose of the football and the chain. So, you know, what a crazy. And of course, then the coach of Georgia, you know, he challenged the call, which I don't know how you can challenge a call like that when it's in a pile, but you know, I'm sure he was, you know, doing anything he could, because obviously once that happened, that was the ball game. But anyway, some interesting calls, not only in college and pro football, but you know, four or five of them, you know, in the Carolina game. So, well, let's bring our main man up here. I think we got Mr. Lee Morris blowing smoke up here. I think that's him. Lee, you there, sir?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, sir? We were just talking a little barbecue, and then talking about the Carolina game. Actually, I was kind of talking in general. It seemed to listen to some other sports shows this weekend. It seems that a lot of college and pro football this weekend, where we've gotten off the start this season of kind of flag happy. And I know in the Carolina game, you know, on both sides of the football, quite honestly, I thought there was some, you know, it's really some questionable calls. I even thought the call the Georgia run back Gurley scored. I kind of looked at it, and I mean, it's like they say, you can call holding on probably every play, maybe. But I thought it was kind of questionable myself. Of course, I'm glad we got the break since they didn't score. But there was a couple of other ones. Of course, there was a personal foul where, quite honestly, Gurley headbutted our guy a couple times, which appeared to be right in front of the referee. And then you kind of got some, you know, yang back and forth. And really, I thought what they should have done, they should have just, you know, made it unsportsmanlike both ways. And, yeah, you know, penalties cancel each other out. But they actually, you know, called the Carolina guy for the flag, which I thought was a pretty poor call. And of course, as we were just talking about, the infamous spot, which was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I don't know if I've ever seen, you know, two spots in a row that were, you know, within I don't know, there couldn't have been, it couldn't have been 2 inches difference in that football where it was set down each time. And of course, the first time, obviously, it was, it appeared it was like less than an inch from being a first down. And then the next time, it looked like it was, you know, less than an inch, probably less than a half inch, and it was a first down. So I don't know if we'll ever see it again, two plays in a row where they can mark the football that actual close again. But really strange play. Luckily, it worked out for the Gamecocks, and we're able to basically go in touchdown formation and stamp the ball and run out the clock. But I got to go saw it obviously live. Of course, you didn't really see much. We could see it up on the big screen. And then to get to see it on TV and listen to the commentators, it really shouldn't have come to that. I thought Dylan had advanced the ball probably another 6 inches past that at least, or foot past that. But I guess that's what makes the fun of rivalry games. You got to have a little controversy in there, and that'll be something everybody can talk about, I guess, for the next 3-4 months. So crazy thing, huh?
Georgia probably didn't want the ball back after they saw what happened to Michigan last time we got a bad spot.
Yeah, that would have been some kind of deja vu of Groundhog Day, wouldn't it? If they would have got the ball and say the guy would be running and got slammed. Now that would have been, I hadn't even thought about that. That's a good point, but that would have been really a true Groundhog Day. There's no doubt about it. If that would happen. But yeah, I mean, I tell you, it was a heck of a football game. It was one of the better football games I had seen in person in a while. It was just like somebody had commented, it was kind of like a heavyweight fight. And it was like you're getting into the, you know, into the later rounds, the 12th and 13th and so forth round, and, you know, both guys slugging and going at it, and then this is going to see who the last guy was standing, and luckily it was the Gamecocks. But what a game, a lot of big plays, a lot of great plays, made some great catches on both sides. Georgia guys made some great catches. I thought the Carolina receivers made some unbelievable catches. Dylan Thompson made some throws that were pretty much about perfect. You know, he had to throw it in a spot where only your guy could catch it, and he did that in a lot of situations, which was good. And of course, you know, Georgia's running backs. What can you say? That play with Gurley, we had him basically stopped over there on I think it was 3rd and 16. Yeah, it was 3rd and 11. Then they had a penalty, so now it's 3rd and 16. Pretty much got him hemmed up on the sideline. It's probably going to be a no gain, a 2-yard loss or something. And he goes and gains, you know, what, 17 yards, 18 yards. But that's just the kind of that's the kind of back he is. He's gonna make plays like that. But luckily, I don't think Gurley really beat us. He, you know, he got his yards. When you got a player like that, he's gonna get his yards. But if you can allow him from making too many big plays in the game, you've done your job. So I think we pretty much had him handled for the most part. You know, just. Georgia made some – man, they made some big plays, though. That interception was going to – look like that was going to be the kind of break the camel's back there. I think everybody in the stadium was like, man, just like we kept on going back and forth, hoping we wouldn't make a critical mistake. And then, wow, I think everybody was shocked. You would have thought that, you know, Georgia was going to line up and give it to Gurley down there at the 5-6-yard line, whatever it was. And maybe they thought that – that's what we thought. So they went a little play action, and then, we just snuffed it out perfectly. And the grounding call, I mean, obviously it was the right call. And the guy, there wasn't anybody. In fact, he hit our lineman in the knee or elbow, trying to throw it away. So he didn't. I don't think he had a leg to stand on, and that really kind of changed the mojo for them. And then of course they're losing down. And then we get them stymied. And then what was so, you know, another weird thing is when, you know, the guy it set the record in the game for the, I think it was 18 field goals in a row. And then, of course, he misses his next two. But what was so interesting about that last one, I thought, is, of course, I can't, obviously our angle, you can't see it. But when I watched it on TV, it's almost like if he would have been 5 yards farther back, he probably would have made it, because that ball, it looked like once it got past the upright, it started hooking slightly, or maybe the wind, who knows. But when that thing got past the upright, and then if you looked at it, it looked like it had gone through the goalpost, but it actually went about, I don't know, a couple of feet to the right. But, man, what a weird, I mean, there's just so many strange things that happened in that game. It's almost like the football gods in some way were kind of looking out for the Gamecocks, I think. So, but yeah, that kick was until I saw it in person, I couldn't. I was like, wow.
Dude, I was watching it on TV and I was worried.
I'm just thankful that the officials didn't make a mistake and call it good or something, because I mean, I could see where you could look up and almost see it being good, but they made the right call though. When it passed through there or passed by there, it was definitely. It was definitely wide to the right, but once it got about another 20 feet, man, that thing was it was hooking in, so unbelievable.
Did you see
that
Elliot Fry was taking up for their kicker today on Facebook?
I saw that. That was pretty pretty cool. I think a Clemson guy. I mean, obviously somebody was. Comment about the Georgia kicker, and of course Elliot Fry, you know, basically, and of course he's correct. I mean, the guy is a heck of a kicker for Georgia, and it just unfortunately he missed two in a row, and then one of them that he missed was in a critical situation to tie the game. And of course, you know, the Clemson guy, I think, what was the comment he said? When are you going to come out of that Pee Wee jersey? Or
yeah, when are you going to get out of your Pee Wee jersey? And Elliot Fry just responded, when y'all beat us.
I have to admit, that was pretty classic. And if it would have been reversed, I would say the same thing. I'm luckily we beat them 5 years in a row, so I thought that was pretty good. When
yep.
you beat us, that was good. That's good stuff.
Nothing else needs to be
that's
said. You didn't
right
need to
there.
Be asked about it. His point was made. It was good.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that was pretty funny. I like
you're
that.
You're talking about ag happy referees and. You know, football, college and pro, is just getting to the point now where it's going to end up being flag football in 5 years because it's so – I mean, just think about back in the day when Dick Butkus and them were playing and clotheslining people, and I'm glad they got rid of the clothesline and, you know, the horse tackle, you know, the horse collar, that's a dangerous tackle. And but some of these things, man, and this concussion thing, you're not playing golf. You know, if you don't want to
yeah.
do it and you don't think you can handle it, get better at another sport or don't play. I mean, that's you know, these kids now, and I talked about this back in the summer, with all these kids dying that are practicing football at high school and stuff and not getting enough water. And one of our punishments when we sucked at practice, we didn't get water, and we had to run. So I don't know how we made it.
Oh, yeah. Man, I remember those days well. That was your punishment. Was basically two things, you know, running and no water. And now that's like a, you know, supposedly a big no-no. But, yeah, I mean, I think we're getting a little I understand some of the protection and some of the things that are needed, obviously, but it seems like we're getting a little soft or we're getting a little overprotective or flag-happy on some of the stuff. And just like I was listening to some of the sports shows today, it's kind of, you know, it's taken away from the game. And the one thing it's doing, too, is extending the game. That's one thing people sometimes don't like about baseball. And that's one of the big things against instant replay, even though there's probably helping out some. But, you know, how it prolongs the game. And, you know, some of these football games, man, are getting into, you know, 3.5 to 4 hours because, you know, especially on TV, you already got your TV timeouts and, you know, commercials and all this. And that's already – you know, extending the game, and then if you're getting all these flags and all, and then with instant replay in there and challenges, it's like, holy smokes. Man, I mean, I don't think it was really that bad 10 years ago. I don't think we really need that much changes, but, they've changed a lot, haven't they?
It's well, it kind of goes with our nation. You know, we're getting softer as a nation, and everybody's got feelings, and you can't hurt anybody anymore, so we may as well puss up everything else we do, so... I don't see it long. It'll be flag football or something like that. They'll, you know, women will be on the field because, you know, you can't not let a woman play because, oh, heaven forbid that shit. And it'll just be everybody will be padded down with the, you know, the pool noodles and it'll be flag football. And it'll be
yeah.
more. I'll start watching the football that everybody else in the country, in the world watches because, you know, at least the only thing about that is they're dramatic, you know, but at least they kick each other and fight in soccer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to like to watch that, and I don't know, I guess it's still on. Maybe I just don't the right channels, but I used to love to watch that Australian rules football. Man, them guys, I mean, and we're talking, they pretty much had, there's no pads. I mean, it's basically, it's a form of rugby.
Yeah.
Man, they might have had something on their shins or something. But other than that, man, those guys didn't have anything, and they would get out there and literally kill each other. I mean, it was amazing, you know, to watch that. I didn't really all the times I watched it, I didn't really understand totally all the different rules and all. But man, they got after it, and there was hardly, like I said, there was no helmets, no shoulder pads, you know, other than maybe something up around your shin or something. But if you see somebody kicked you, that was about it with those guys. So. Yeah, it's gotten a bit. It has gotten a bit much. Unfortunately, it seems like we're, as a country, we're kind of migrating toward that for whatever reason. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of safety and precautions and so forth. But it seems like when something happens, we make these knee-jerk reactions. Sometimes, you know what? It's just sad. It's a bad accident. It's terrible. It's like somebody having a car wreck, you know. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes it happens because it was, you know, just human error. You know, they unfortunately, you know, overreacted or turned the wheel too much or whatever. But, you know, it seems like we got to blame something else. It can't, somebody, what wasn't their fault, somebody else's fault. That seems to be the, you know, kind of the trend for whatever reason. So
nothing's ever anybody's fault anymore. Like Gene, every time he loses at a barbecue competition, it's always Tisa's fault or He just sucks at cooking, you know. Nobody takes blame for anything anymore.
Hey, we got another caller in there. Hang on there a second. Let's bring up 803-824. We got you on live.
Hey, Chris. What's Scott? What's going on, Bubba?
Hey, Scott. What's up, man? How's it going?
What's
doing
up, dude?
We're doing fine.
Great weekend for Carolina.
What has happened? Yeah, it's good. Obviously as Carolina fans, I guess all three of us on here are Carolina fans. But it was a great football game. Really from start to finish. I mean, there were some questionable calls. I don't think there was anything that really changed the outcome of the game. Now, I do believe if they would have not called that a first down, I think that could have. And then say Georgia would have scored, I think that would have. Could have had something done with the outcome. I think they did make the right call. But, some good hitting. And I tell you, like I told some people, I said, you know what? I saw it both ways. I saw some Carolina guys probably yeah-yeahing some, and I saw some Georgia guys. But you know what? I like seeing that because that's part of football. That's part of rivalry. As long as it ain't happening after every play, that's just what it's some of these guys have played high school against each other. They've played on all-star teams. And, they're jacked up about getting to get to play against each other. So I was kind of happy to see our Carolina guys kind of getting chippy, with some of them, because I thought that was been part of our problem the last couple of games. We just hadn't seemed to be real aggressive. I saw a lot of gang tackling by the Gamecocks, and we were trying to corral that doggone beast Gurley. And then luckily, somebody else, another two, three guys would come in and help put him down, because I'm going to tell you what, it's very few times when one guy is going to go one-on-one and drag that guy down. You know what? It's going to take two or three guys to push him back. But I thought that was just a great football game. I love seeing I like seeing the little bit chippy after the plays and some good offensive play. Sometimes it's just, you can say bad defense, whatever. It was just some good offensive plays. Carolina completed some great passes. Georgia completed some good passes. Georgia had some great runs. A lot of good, solid blocking on the offensive line. I thought Carolina's offensive line had a tremendous game. We gave up one sack, and quite honestly, I thought the sack we gave up really, probably Dylan should probably gone ahead and got rid of that ball instead of eating it. So that was a shame. If not for that, we would have had, zero sacks against a pretty doggone good physical and big Georgia line. So, but, man, what just a – just a classic, good old football game. A lot of times people don't like the, even though you like good defense, don't like to see the low scoring games. So man, you had offense, but then you had some good defensive stops. So you really had all the good stuff. I tell you I don't know how, because I've rewatched it one time, but the fans, the noise was incredible. There was a couple times in the third quarter and maybe during the fourth quarter, that's the loudest I've heard that stadium in a long time. We were kind of talking out there by tailgating, and then, of course, we're kind of waiting around and texting some people we knew there inside the stadium and just kind of hanging on, and we were kind of getting concerned that, I felt like one of our advantages was for the game was having the crowd in it and momentum and all, because, the way we've been playing, it felt like we're going to have to play our best game and get good things happen and get the fans behind us. And then I was like, oh, man, the rain and all, people are going to go home and this, that, and the other. But I'm going to tell you what, man, once that thing got started, that was pretty much a packed house. And even though it started raining there, everybody was staying in their seats. And, man, that place was loud, man. There was white towels everywhere. And, man, I think everybody got rewarded for doing their job and staying in there. So heck of a football game.
Was Scott up there in Union this weekend?
No, I didn't cook last weekend. I stayed at the house and watched the game.
Oh, did you? I was just wondering if you saw the grand champion that Backwoods finally got. I mean, it wasn't Gene, but
they did.
Got one. Tisa's daughter got one. She got first in hamburgers and first in whatever else they had to cook, and grand champion for kids' cook-off.
Wow, so he got his first grand champion.
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
he still has one.
But it wasn't Gene.
He won. Patrice had Katie talking a little bit of junk to Gene this week, talking about I've only cooked in two contests. How many of you cooked in? Because I came in third in one and first in another.
Wow.
And something about her having a grand championship and Gene not having one. So I think they've had fun with it too.
That did make me feel bad. I went to my, which I love Gene. Love Gene's best. I went to my first KCBS, come in second in port, then go down there and get beat by Gene.
Yeah, that make you feel bad anytime.
Yes.
So I was going, I'm going to Fort Mill this weekend, and I was hoping to not have a lot of competition up there, but damn, Waylon's going, Gene's going, Brad's going. So, I don't, it sucks now.
Yeah, I thought, I knew, I remember coming back from Richmond, I thought Waylon told me he was going to go to Fort Mill, I think. I didn't know Brad was, so Brad's going to head up there too. So, yeah, I thought one time, I thought Brad was not going to be able to cook much. I thought he'd left his trailer in Memphis after the Sands, but he told me they decided they brought it on back. So he had the big rig. Well, we might have our man on here. Let's see here. I think this is his number. 803-275. Is that you, Gene?
Hey, y'all talking smack.
You should have let Katie call in this week, not you.
Yeah. She did a good job.
Mr. Culberson, how are you, sir?
Great, great. Yeah, we had a good weekend. One thing about it, they had plenty of water. They had the power. They had the, they had their own power company, so they got, I mean, they had plenty of power this past weekend. And one thing about it, first, second, third,
go ahead.
I mean, they were stick burners. So stick burners took over this weekend.
Well, obviously there wasn't any good gravity feed cookers up there is obviously what happened, I guess. Must have been that. How was the entertainment on Friday night, Gene? As I remember, they had a pretty good band there last year. Did they have a band this year?
They did.
Was the Elvis impersonator back?
I didn't even go up there. We listened to music from the trailer, and we went out for supper, and of course, you know, the meeting was at 4 o'clock. We didn't get our, you know, bus to 4:30, and then we done our trimming and all that afternoon, and we just kind of took it easy that evening. It was a nice little event. Had a little thunderstorm around 12:30 at night. But it didn't last long, but it was a nice weekend.
Yeah, we had a good time up there. They had a good crowd on, you know, because the weather was a lot better last year than I'm sure this year. But they had a really good crowd Friday night, and then on Saturday, and I guess they set it up to say that it was almost like a little carnival affair. They had rides and all kind of stuff downtown, and I think actually they had a. I think they had an Elvis impersonator did the last gig on Friday night. He was actually pretty good. He was going getting people out of the contest. I mean, it was pretty good. We enjoyed it. They did a nice job, I thought, with it. I remember they had a nice big stage up there, and we enjoyed it. I hate to miss it this year, but hopefully it'll work out next year. We can get back up there next year. Nice contest though.
Y'all know. Y'all know anybody that's going to Lake City to challenge Brian besides Tony?
Does Lake City this weekend?
Yeah.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was thinking that All Smoked Up was going to go. You know, they took Brian's hog class, but I think they got a catering job, but I know Doco Smoke's going up there.
Really?
I was going to go. I must have overlooked it.
Really?
I signed up for the Fort Mill this weekend, so I'm going to foot down to Fort Mill.
Well, you can probably get your money back if you want to go to Lake City. We'll be all right.
not the money they're giving away.
Now, go on to Lake City. You do good with hogs. Scott,
yeah, I didn't see much about that event in Lake City. That's been really much on the board or nothing about that.
I called one day last week. I talked to somebody, and they said they only had 16. But then I looked to see if it was any way I could try to slip back. It was like 2 hours different. I knew there ain't no way I could try to, you know, set teeth up and then come back. So I'm just going to go to Fort Mill this weekend.
That's a long ride from Fort Mill to Lake City. There ain't no good way to get there either.
No.
Oh, no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
It's going to be nice to have the Backwoods Entertainment in Fort Mill, I can tell you that. It was quiet up there last year. It won't be this year with you and Brad there.
Yeah. As far as I know, Brad's going to leave out Friday morning, too, and head up that way. So it ought to be Waylon. I think Waylon's gone, so it'll be a pretty full house this weekend.
Yeah, I know last year it was that competitor series, so it wasn't a fully sanctioned event, and that's the first time we got a call in port. And then, but most of them guys that used to cook up there cook on gas and stuff, so most of those local guys won't be there this year. It's going to be, I imagine, mostly KCBS teams.
I got a case of email about 3 o'clock today. I think it was 33 teams going to Fort Mill.
33 teams? Oh, that's a good field there. That's good.
Yeah, I think last year, 25, something like that.
What's the purse up there, like 12,000, is that right? Is that what was it?
Yeah, I think it's 11,500.
11,500, okay. Yeah, I thought I remember telling me something about like that. That's good. That should be a good one. Well, we're going to be partying in Nashville, Tennessee, so I wish you guys the best of luck there in
Chris,
Big
you ever
Fort
been
Mills,
to
South
the
Carolina.
You ever been to the SBN cook-off in, what is it, Monk's Corner, the Berkeley Lion Club?
That's the first time for that.
Oh, is it? Okay.
That's an invitation alone.
Whoever wins this weekend will get automatic in the draw.
Yeah, I've seen that. I'm gonna head down there and try that one out.
Where's the one this weekend, Gene?
Berkeley. That's what Scott's going this weekend. That's the one that the FBN.
I thought talking about the actual shootout in November. Oh, I got you.
No, but they're going for points. They're taking the top 12.
Whoever wins is ahead of everybody.
Whoever wins this weekend is automatic in.
Golly.
For the $10,000.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I'll reserve my comments on how they did that this year. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Don't complain.
Well, at least I know I'm in the top 12, so at least I'm going to get my invite. I want to look at that.
I looked at the team of the year, Chris. I think you're pretty good.
we're in good shape for getting our top 12 call. I think I had 45 something points. I think the next closest was about 24 or something like that. And of course they probably, I'm sure some people moved up this weekend because of contests and all. So. I actually didn't even know they had it posted, and I called them because I was like, golly, they got some contests coming up. And I was kind of hoping I was like, damn, I think we're going to make it, but I better call and make sure. And so I sent an email, I guess, to Jim Harmon, and then he sent back to this actual link on there, and I said, okay. He said, I think you're going to be fine. And so I went and looked on it, and I was like, yeah, I think we'll be okay. So, but that's pretty cool. That's a pretty nice purse. Down there, so hey, you know, anybody makes, I guess it's a Don't matter if you're 12th or you're 1st or you're 5th or whatever.
The only thing is, though, you can sit here and you can take off till November, and I got to go cook my ass off this weekend.
Yeah, I'll have to cook. That's right. I ain't got to cook no more. So I do like the fact. I think they're going to make it a 4-meat contest down there in Muck's Corner. So that's pretty cool. I do like the fact that if they are going to at least, you know, do a winner take all or shootout or, you know, whatever you want to call it. I do like the fact they're not going to base it on, you know, they're going to base it on 4 meats. I would have been fine with 3 meats, but, you know, I'm glad they weren't going to do it like on 2 meats. I would have hated to have seen that. So I think if you're going to do a team of the year or something like that, I think it ought to be a true all-around contest. So I was glad to – I am glad to see that. So that'll be of course, only – So I guess I'm gonna do my meatloaf brisket like I did up in Clover and see how that goes down in Muck's Corner. God. I still can't get over that. Mm. Did I send you a picture of my meatloaf brisket, Lee? I don't guess I ever sent you a picture of that, did I?
No, I don't get any pictures of stuff you do. It's all I'm not.
That's not true. Shit.
I don't think my credit's too bad, so they. I just have secret. I can see Gene's shit, but not yours.
Well, I ain't got nothing to hide. God almighty.
Because Gene walks around with his phone. Let me show you my box I built. Let me show you. I ain't getting this prepared today. Let me show you my box I built.
Oh, I see now. So that's in Muck's Corner, that Berkeley. Okay, so that's in the same place as Ella. I got you. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited and I'm Chris and Scott ain't gonna be there. But Gene, what are y'all doing for dinner Friday night? I need to know.
I'm hoping you're cooking.
I guess we probably need to figure out something. We can get Brad and Waylon if they want to do it, too. I don't know who else is going. Those are the only four that I know.
You ain't going to get Waylon. He'll be back at the hotel sleeping, man.
Yeah, Waylon can bring his breakfast.
Yeah, he can bring you breakfast now. He'll bring you breakfast and coffee. He'll be there about 5 o'clock, I promise you that, 4:30,
yeah.
5 in the morning. Yeah, he usually cuts out and goes to the hotel, and I think he's going to get something eating and hit the sack, so.
Absolutely. I'm with him, he's smoking. Franklin got his old.
Oh, he's going up to Fort Mill, Michael?
Yeah. I forgot he was going to be there, too.
Wow. We're going to have a heck of a field up there, then. Man.
So Franklin then sold his old, that little small one that you know he got from Jim.
Who did he sell the small one to?
He sold it to Terry that used to work with Jim. Tony, Terry.
Oh, not Terry. You're talking about, not Terry, not Tony. Tanner. Talking about Tanner.
Tanner, yeah.
Okay, so he did make the deal. Okay.
He sold it to him, and then he took the money and bought the other one from Michael.
Yep, he got him to... Got in the limo.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's right. He took. I was trying to figure out why he told me he was going to Savannah or down that area. So that's what it was. He was taking Michael's to him. I guess he got from Jim, and then he brought his back. I got you.
Jim brought it back, and then Franklin got that, and then took it down to Michael, and just walked out.
Gotcha.
That's a heavy-duty smoker in that building.
Yeah, I'm hopefully going to be getting mine sometime in November, I hope.
God almighty, you can't hide money. I swear to God, all these people on.
you should have went ahead and upgraded and got you one like Mary Ellen's got.
Yeah,
so who's got?
the Deep South.
That's what I'm getting, Deep South.
Yeah, is it purple?
You seen that one that Mary Evans got?
Did he get? He got the big boy.
Oh, it's probably almost twice as big as the one Jim's got.
Yeah, he got the big one.
It's huge.
What did he do with his TNT?
I think he sold it, or somebody was picking it up or something. But all I know is that's a hell of a smoker he's got now.
Don't worry, he'll be selling that too if he don't win.
Yeah, I mean, he only had that TNT for 6 months. But I know I saw him in Greenwood, and he said he wasn't liking it. He just, some things he didn't like about it, so.
Yeah, it wasn't winning.
He wasn't getting the temp up on it. That's what the problem was.
Mm-hmm. He should have let you look at it. You'd have that shit up to 900 degrees for him.
Yeah, they said the paint won't peel. I bet you'd have the paint peeling on it, though.
Yeah, he would. Damn paint be peeling off of it.
That's what I'm saying. He would have got the paint to peel on that damn thing.
You could have lit your cigarette off the side of it by the time Gene was done with it.
Well, I'll say put the wood to it. If you want some heat, let it eat.
That's been Gene's whole life. Just put the wood to it.
About that stick burner. You got a good bed of coals. You dampen that door. I mean, you can jump 200 degrees in about 15 minutes, can't you, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Oh, ain't no doubt about it.
Chris's will do that, too, if he doesn't shut the back door on us all the way.
Yeah, you're talking about on my TNT, too? Oh, my, that thing got it like 300 and something degrees. I'm like, what in the hell happened? I guess I get cobwebs in my head, and I don't think that. I'll be sitting there looking, I'm like, damn, what is going on with this thing? So I said, all you got to do is look back there and see that back door crack.
Mine's got a 2-inch drain valve underneath it so I can spray it out. And sometimes I'll forget to close that ball valve back, and I'll be like, why the hell is my fire getting so hot? All my doors are shut. There's no leaking. And I reach down there, and I forgot to close it, so it's pulling air through the bottom.
Yep. No doubt about it. It's one thing with getting fired.
Anytime I do that, it's Kristen's fault.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, dang, man, we've had all kinds. So we got Michael Harmer in the new smoker. Now, his smoker's it was Robert Franklin. Robert Franklin's has gone to Tanner. Barry Oates got a brand new smoker. We don't know where his has found a home yet. We got all kinds of smokers going here, there, and everywhere.
Must be nice.
Got his trailer for sale.
Yep.
That's a nice trailer for somebody out there.
My wife gave me permission to buy a smoker for the porch. Can't wait to do that.
Do it.
She said it's got to be $200 or less. I said, okay. Per month.
Yeah, there you go. Now you're talking. I get you something real nice there, Clark.
I'm going to finance me a Lang.
We can get you one.
No, I know you can. If I buy it from you, it's marked up 80%.
So what you got, Gene? You going to where are you cooking at the next week? I guess that's the 27th. Is that right?
I reckon I'm
going to
try to hit up Lakewood.
Are you really?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's going
to
be a good one.
I think you might go to Malden because, I mean, that's probably not far at all for you.
Well, I wanted to. I called and talked to them, and then she called me back this morning and said that they only wanted 22 teams. They took 23, but she said that was all they could take. So that won't be I don't know what they're painting out, but I want to go down to Lakewood and see if I can't get in the top five. They're paying that pretty decent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good payout down there. Pretty good payout.
Them
that's a nice contest. Say again.
Didn't All Smoked Up in Malden last year?
No, it was. Well, was it All Smoked Up?
Well,
I remember Michael Harmon won Ribs, because I remember he was like last or next to last or something, and that was that we tried to do two contests in one day or whatever. He was like last or next to last in Ribs in Columbia, and then he got first up there. I can't remember who won for it to save my life. You might be right, Lee. I just don't remember. I just remember the Ribs for whatever reason, because he went like last to first.
Yeah, I forgot about that being with Smoke on the Water last year. Boy, that ruffled some damn feathers, didn't it?
Holy smokes. Phew.
Especially Gene.
Let's see, I'm going to tell you real quick. The winner last year was, like, I don't even see it listed.
I don't remember the name of the contest.
Yeah, I'm looking in the archives. I don't even see it listed, though. There's Project Host. What? Oh, I see. They got it. They got them alphabetical, don't they? That's good.
No. Is it?
Got it. You know what? Palmetto Smokehouse won both of them. He won Butts and Ribs. Yeah.
Okay.
All Smoked Up was fifth.
That's right. I remember Michael winning. That's right. I remember everybody talking about how he went from last place to first up there.
Yeah, let me double check that just to make.
I think you're right.
It might not have been last, but I mean it was like the bottom two or three. I remember because he was last. Because I mean, and he said what he cooked up there. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, next to last, 15th out of 16. Kingsman's Q was 16. I think that's actually the guys that owned the old restaurant there. You've probably been in that place, maybe, Lee, the over by D's in the shops at the Kingsman. Actually, pretty good little place, actually.
I remember, didn't N Army Q win that one in Smoke on the Water?
Actually, they were second. They were second. No Pig Left Behind was first, N Army Q second, and Fat Boys third. Creek Mill, I don't even know who that was. Creek Mill Barbecue fourth. T. Wally Q, fifth. Never heard
so
of that. We were sixth. Who in the world? Yeah, never heard some of those folks. Huh. Yeah, that was an experience.
I mean,
that was something.
Up Lakewood, y'all know?
No. I know they wanted
it
a lot
like
up there.
It doesn't seem like it's been a lot so far, because I know they're asking for teams. I'm going to look at the times and all. I think I may try to go now. They announced the Carolina game, which is 7 o'clock that Saturday. I wish I would have gone ahead and sent my entry in from Malden and rolled the dice, because that's a closer drive to Columbia with it being a night game. But because it's closed off now, we may try to go to Myrtle now, I guess. So
they're wanting to make that one a big event.
Yeah, I mean, what a great place to have it, though. You know, the big selling point to me is, you know, with that being a nice campground, you already know that your hookups are going to be good, your water, you know, 50 amp power, bathrooms. I mean, when you think about it, that's an ideal place to have a barbecue competition, because you already got pretty much most all the things you need for the cookers, because everybody's coming in and pretty much some type of trailer or, you know, like that anyway. So perfect spot, no doubt. So. Yeah, that's gonna be a good contest. We may have to see if we can make it down there to Big Myrtle Beach. So, and then after that, I guess let's see, is it I don't know what's after that. Maybe it's that Kershaw and
Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson's like the second week in October, isn't it, I think? Is that right?
Same week as Kershaw.
Oh, Jackson's safe. Oh, okay, that's okay.
I just hate when they
I'm looking forward to that.
I just hate they put good events like that on the same weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, we talked about that probably the last two or three weeks, haven't we, Lee? Probably most of the summer, really. I wish they would I wish they would do a little better job or be a little more proactive on the scheduling and stuff like that, but I guess it is what it is, unfortunately. But it hurts the contest, I think, unfortunately. So.
Hey, it doesn't matter. They're just a judging organization. They don't have anything to do with that.
I think you're correct about that, no doubt. Well, I saw my man Cole didn't call in tonight. He must be on, maybe he's on diaper duty tonight. What I got, so we got some power outages somewhere, possibly. Could be.
No, not. It may not be power outages. His hall pass may not be, it may stop at 8 o'clock.
Uh-oh. We got the hall pass. I'm going to call the hall pass in.
I mean, we ain't talked to Jeff since he's been married, but Tony and Cole usually get on here every now and then.
Yeah, I forget. Yeah, what's up, my man Jeff? He's had the hall pass called in, too. But I've seen a couple of posts on Facebook. He must be using his hall pass for the deer hunting, I guess. And then
right.
He can't get back on the phone.
I'm gonna call Lindy and see if he can talk next week, maybe, for about 10 minutes.
Hey, how about do that, man? Put a call in for us, would you? See if we can get him back on.
Tony, I think all smoked up. They don't. I mean, Gary never calls. Cole will call every now and then, but. I don't know. I don't know why they don't call anymore. I know why Gary don't call. He's too good. He's got to get his assistant to dial in, and they leave at 5. So.
That's pretty good.
He's probably cooking barbecue now for his restaurant. You know, he gets those bucket of ribs. Yeah. And ever since that Arby's commercial where they do 15-hour brisket, he tries to go 5 days on pork butts just to outdo him. So
he's trying to be the topper.
Oh, you need smoking man, what color you get?
Well, I'm gonna talk to him, man. I'm hoping it's gonna be. I think I'm gonna do pretty much all black. I think we're gonna do like a garnet door on it. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I think that's the plan, I believe. I think we're gonna put the smoker box on the right side, which I like, because then I'll have to even if I came out on the porch if it was raining, I wouldn't have to worry about going, you know, out there to put woodchucks in there. So I'm gonna like that a lot better. And then of course the thing I like too, it makes it I guess I don't know what the right word is I want to call it. I guess it makes it wider and not quite as deep. I mean, it doesn't change the doesn't change the cooking area. It just makes it longer, you know. Since the firebox on the right side, which I like, because then it'll give me a little. It doesn't make it quite as tight coming out the door, even though it's not bad right now. But I think I like better having a little bit more space between the door and the grill, so or the smoker. So, and of course, I'm gonna get them up this time. I'm gonna have them mount it right in the middle, and you know, have it welded on there. So. I don't have to worry about strapping it down, all that kind of stuff. So that'll make it a lot better as well, I think.
Make sure when you painted that pretty game, that Gamecock color, you cock-a-doodle park that bitch right beside Backwoods every contest.
Oh, I'm going to request that. That'll be my number one request. It's going to be what they call their medium, it'll probably be about 1 1/4 times the size of my current one as far as the cooking side and cooking space inside, which I like, because it'd be, you know, it also gives you a little more air space in there, you know, because it's like any smoker. I don't care if it's that one or, you know, a Lang or, you know, whoever, Backwoods. You know, they can say you can put X amount of stuff in there, but y'all know as well as I do, if you get something loaded up and there's no air to move, It ain't gonna cook properly anyway, so I like the fact that it's gonna be. I don't necessarily need a lot bigger cooker, but I like the fact that it will be bigger. So I think that helps out if you got, you know, say at the South Carolina contest, you got 8-10 butts in there, you can spread them around a little bit better and keep that airflow going better. Because now cooking in pans sometimes, I mean, I can tell if I don't get those things positioned right, I can watch those temp gauges. And you know something's not going right, and I think that air is just not, you know, it's not drawing right, I guess. So I think it'll help out with that. So looking forward to that. Definitely. All right.
But
thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all. Go ahead, Jane.
I said, that is a nice smoker, so you can put your probes, you know, through the little hole where that salmon will go on it.
Yep.
He's done some thinking on that little smoker.
Yeah, he's kind of done some little small things. Don't mean small in a bad way, but things that, like having a little place where you, like, say, pass the wire through and the way the door shut. And then he's got that, you know, that special paint on there that, man, it's like a showroom shine on those things. Yeah, special latches and, he does a really nice job with those smokers. He builds a quality smoker, so I'm looking for. I know it won't be a big learning curve because it's a gravity, but I think with the smoker box on the sides and the back, it'll be a little bit of a learning curve. So, but I'm gonna be looking forward to it definitely. So, looking forward to it. All right, guys, I appreciate y'all chiming in tonight. I'm gonna get ready to close her out and go watch a little. Go check out a little Monday night football tonight, and I think we got the Eagles and the Colts, isn't it? I think. So, see what kind of game we got tonight. So,
before you go, Chris, Gene, please don't hang up until the whole song is done playing.
appreciate that, Lee. That's exactly right. Lee requested you please stay on the line until the whole song is completed, if you don't mind.
Oh.
That's pretty good.
Well, what's
hey, good luck to you guys
next?
In Fort Mill. Safe travels to you, and also I guess Scott, you're heading down to Berkeley or to Munt's Corner, I guess, as well. So
yep.
good luck to you at that event, and I'll be checking in with you guys. How you doing? We'll be partying in Nashville, Tennessee, Friday night, and tailgating. I don't know how the weather is here. I think it's supposed to be fine. I looked at the weather in Nashville this weekend. It's supposed to be low 80s and sunny. So hopefully it'll be the same for you guys in Fort Mill and the Charleston area. So should be some pretty weather for anything you do, but especially for some barbecuing and for us watching college football. So safe travels to you guys. Appreciate you calling in. Appreciate everybody else listening out there. And proud of my Gamecocks. And so with that, we're going to close it out with, you know what, go Cox. Everybody have a great week.